Okay, we are in the middle of the Igeres Hagra, in the paragraph that starts V'lachein Ani Mazhircha. It's just a few paragraphs in. Last week we introduced the letter, and we got off the ground. So the Gra says, again, the Gra is talking to his this is a letter to his wife and to his mother. V'lachein Ani Mazhircha. And therefore meaning, always, therefore is a follow-up to a previous what he was talking about previously, which in this context was that everything you will ultimately have to answer for, and all the more so when it comes to dibur, to speech. So he says, "V'lachein ani mazhircha shetargil b'chol ayoser leishev yichidi." The Gra says that because it's so bad to talk and to speak and to schmooze. Schmoozing leads to who knows what, and he's going to get into it more. You'll see the Grud took speech very, very seriously. So he says, you know what? You're better off sitting in at home alone. You're better off sitting in the house and not leaving and not seeing people. Ki cheit haloshon al kulo kemamar chachamenu zal ilu dvarim shadom chaber simbol mazeh. And there's one girsa, the one version, the loshon hara keneged kulam. That when it comes to the negatives, that's... you know, we say every morning the mitzvahs, the positive Talmud Torah keneged kulam, and he quotes for us the Tosefta, which tells us v'lashon hara keneged kulam. So therefore you should avoid it at all cost. Umali laharich baze ha'avon ha'chamer mikol ha'averos. And what do I need to talk about this, something that is so obvious and such a terrible, awful thing? You know, it's interesting because the girl lived, again, he passed away in the late 1700s. The Chafetz Chaim felt the need to record all of it. The Chafetz Chaim has 31 averos that one could possibly violate when you speak Lashon Hara, but of the averos, it's almost as if the words Lashon Hara themselves don't appear in the Torah. But obviously the concept comes up potentially 31 times, and while the Gra says this, it's a waste of ink. I could be doing better things than writing about how terrible it is to speak Lashon Hara, because obviously everybody knows that, and that's a very chamor avera. But the Chafetz Chaim, a few generations later, thought that it was worth everybody's while for it to be recorded. Kol amal adam lepihu, amr chachamin ezal shakol mitosav atoros v'shal adam eno maspik l'mashamot zibipiv. Ma'am nosav shal adam olamazeh, yasim atzmo ki'ilim. The umnos of a person, it's almost as if it's a talent, it's a skill, to be able to yasim atzmo ki'ilim, to make himself mute. We think of darkness as being the absence of light, which is a whole tumult in philosophy. It's also a whole tumult in Shas. Miriam is waving at either at me or at Jordana, probably Jordana. Okay. And we think of being quiet is an absence of talking, but the Gra here is saying, I think he's saying a chiddush. He's saying that to be mute is not a shlili, meaning that there's nothing. Instead of talking, you're doing nothing. It's the absence of talking, but rather it's itself a positive action, which is you are actively not talking. The yadbik sefsosav kishtei rechayim. You should make your lips like two millstones. Millstones are very hard to pick up. You should be very hesitant, very cautious to talk. There's some punishment in Gehenna called Kaf HaKela. We hope it upon none of us. I don't know what it means, but on a literal explanation, Kaf HaKela is like a slingshot. They slingshot you across the world, whatever that means. It sounds like it's not so pleasant. And that happens because of the Hevel Piv of Dvarim B'Telem. Speaking... wasted words. I'll call deeper hevel tzarch l'skalei misofa olam v'atzofo. And for every frivolous word, for every wasted word, you have to be tossed from one end of the world to the other. V'chozeh b'dvarim yiseirim. Aval, b'dvarim ha'asurim, kigon lashon hara, v'leitzanas, u'shvuos, v'nadarim, u'machlokas, u'chlos, u'befrat b'beis ha'kneses, u'beshabbat v'yom tov. Al elu tzarch l'ered l'sha'ol l'mata, harbe ma'od, v'yashar l'sha'ar gol ha'yisurim,
So
So the Gra says, not only it's bad enough during the weekday, but if you're going to talk these types of words on Shabbos, on Yontif, in Shul, so that is even, that's an even bigger Avera. So the Gra is telling his wife, better to stay home, stay alone. You know, that sounds like a strange concept to us. And we have to understand that, you know, on the one hand, we live in a different world than the Vilna Gaon lived in. And we have to realize that about ourselves, that I don't know that it's so practical to tell everybody to stay home. But just, you know, before we, and you're going to see more things from the Gra that you're going to say that's not necessarily how our society does it. Before we start to say, like the Gra, that's wild. Just remember, just because our society doesn't accept something or doesn't do something, it doesn't mean that he's the weird one, okay? It might be that, you know, it's important to understand. The Gra's telling his wife to stay home alone, right? That's, you know, we don't do that. We did over the past year and a half, but that was like a punishment. That was a restriction. We were restricted. We were stuck at home. The Gra's telling his wife that's the best thing to do. But there's a Rabbeinu Bechai, him, that Rishon, in his in Parshas Vayigash.
Which is the right one?
Which was the right? I don't know. Somebody who goes to Mechala is supposed to know.
Toba, I was gonna say you went to Mechala. I have an answer.
What's the answer?
I went to Manhattan, and the teacher in Manhattan totally mixed me up.
I just know that I don't know. I just admit that I don't know, and I move on. And every time I quote him, it's awkward. Okay, maybe I'll ask, my friend is Rav Cooperman's grandson, so maybe I'll just ask him and he'll settle it for me. But anyway, he says in parts of Vayigash that it's not coincidental that all of the, you know, the Avos and our greatest leaders, David HaMelech, they were all shepherds. They're all shepherds. By chance. There were two big milos of being shepherds. One is a shepherd has to take care of the flock. He has to care about each one, each individual. It's like the building blocks, a training course for being a leader, for taking a whole big group of people, sheep in that case, but that's the practice. But you have to care about each and every one. But the other thing that the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar points out is that the other reason they did it was so the shepherd is alone by himself with his stick and his pouch and his sheep. He has time to think, time to process. Also, he doesn't have time to talk Lashon Hara because he has nobody to talk to. That's also something that's very important. So it's you know, what the Vilna Gaon is saying, while it might be for us, it might sound funny, and in our society, it might not sound like what we do, we have to remember who's the right one and who's the weird one. And we have to keep that in mind as we go through. It doesn't necessarily always mean that we should change it, but it's good to know these things. You know, I recently heard a story about Rav Shach. Rav Shach was the Rav Shiva Panovich. And later in life, his eyesight was not very good. And he told the Talmidim that he knows why he's punished, that he has bad eyesight. What was the reason why he had bad eyesight? He said when he was a bacher, he was learning before the war, he was a young boy, and he came to whatever city he was in, and he would sit in the klois, in the shtibel, whatever it was, and he would learn. And they would give every bacher a candle, and then the way it worked was you had to ask for a meal, and then you got a meal by somebody's house. And if you were a really good bacher, you got two meals a day, but most people got one. And he says when he was a bacher learning, so he was very hungry or whatever it was, and so he asked for he went to ask if they could set him up with a meal so that he could have a meal every day. And when his candle would burn out, I forgot the exact nusach, but when his candle would burn out, that would be it. He wouldn't ask for a new candle because he was embarrassed to ask for a second candle. And he says, he looks back and he realizes, when it came to his food, his gashmias, he wasn't embarrassed to ask. He said, I'm very hungry, I need food, I'll ask them for food. But when it came to his ruchnias, which was having the candle lit so that he could learn, all of a sudden he got it. He was shy, he was embarrassed, it's not right to ask, they're already giving me so much, they gave me a whole candle already to ask them for a second candle. And he said, because he wasn't embarrassed when it came to asking for his gashmias, but when it came to his ruchnias, he all of a sudden got shy. That was why he was punished later in life, that he had difficulty seeing. And the person who told this story, he said, this is not like we don't bechlal relate to this story, but we have to know the story. Because you have to know who Rav Shach was. You have to know he was somebody who lived. We were all alive the same time he was alive, although he might have been 100 years older than us. But we walked the planet at the same time he did, and yet his madriga was so much higher. Doing things that we b'chal don't relate to. You know.
When did he live, Rav
Shach? Rav Shach passed away in 2001. And his yard site is, I think, Tes Zayin Cheshvan. It was a few weeks after 9/11.
Okay.
Yes. It was my first year in YU. We got called into the Beis Medrash to say Tehillim in the middle of Seder twice. The first time was on 9/11. They told everybody to stop learning and come to the Beis Medrash. And then a few weeks later, they said that Rav Shach was very, very ill. Now, Rav Shach, there are different reports, he was somewhere around 106, and he had also been out of the public eye for a while by then. But a Godol Ador is a Godol Ador, he makes a Roshim. Rashi says, Vayitzi Yaakov Mibeir Sheva, when a tzaddik leaves a town, he leaves his ziva, his hadra, his glory comes with him. So when Rav Shach left this world, we lost a lot. We lost a lot of protection. So he was born in, I guess, the late 1800s, and Ribbono Shel Olam was mezakeh for a very long time. But his amelos is not something we can relate to, but we have to know about it. So sometimes the Gro will say something. It's important to know that there's a madrega that we should have a she'ifa for, that it's okay that our society doesn't do that. But we should know that, you know, what tzaddikim of your would do. Okay. Another Gra tells us that this Isser Dibor is even worse on Shabbos and on Yontif. Valigatvin Hochin Tamid Eitzel Kol Adam V'Adam V'Ein Nifradu Mimenu V'Kosvin Kol Dibor V'Dibor Ki Of HaShemayim Yoloch HaSakol V'Bal Karafayim Yagid Al Titin Espicha Lachti Espesarecha V'Al Tomer Lefnei Malach Yishkogi Hilo Ma Yiktov V'Chol Asher Tzarech Lucha Tika HaKol Aydei Shliya. Okay, so he says that our words have wings, they fly and they spread all over the place, and words travel, word travels, and sometimes it's not so good that word is traveling. Now he says something which is really remarkable, and it's actually very nogeya to the world we live in. He says, V'chol asher tzarech lecha, anything that you need, tikach hakol al-yedei shliach, buy it ayidei shliach. Meaning, if you're going to go into the marketplace, don't go yourself, because if you go yourself, you're going to talk to people. And when you talk to people, you start talking to people, you start talking about people, and before you know it, you're saying something you shouldn't say. Better to send a shliach into the market to buy what you need. Va'afim hu pa'amim v'shalosh bi'oker. Even if it's two or three times as much, even if you have to pay two or three times as much, it's still worth it. Right, so we live in a world where everything can be delivered to your front door, Amazon Prime and Fresh Direct, whatever they call it. All these things, you can do everything. Seasons delivers over here. Everything can be done that way. So the Gra told his wife, you know, pay for shipping and handling. It's worth it. And he says, and this is, you know, somebody who lives on the level of Emunah Bitachon that the Gra lived. He says, Hayad Hashem Tiktzar. You think it's a problem to pay three times as much for your you want apples. So you're going to get a bushel of apples for $5. And if you want a shliach to pick it up for you and bring it home, it's going to cost you $15. And maybe the apples won't be as pretty if you would go and pick it out yourself. But he says, Hayad Hashem Tiktzar. Is there anything that the Ribbono Shel Olam can't do? From a few weeks ago, the Baal Osra, I think. Is there anything that the Ribbono Shel Olam can't do? So if we have a munim in the Ribbono Shel Olam, so if he wants you to have your apples, you'll get the apples that you deserve. And if he wants you to spend a little more money on it, so he'll give you extra money if you need to do it. It's your job to do the right thing. Hashem Yisbarach, Zon Mikarnei Re'im.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does a shaliach have to be a non-Jew? Or can it
That's interesting. That's interesting. You're saying if he holds it, it's so bad to go into the public. So maybe then, that's an interesting question. I don't know. Would he have allowed a shliach to be a Jew? See, it's a little bit of a problem because if the shliach is a non-Jew, then if she want to buy, let's say, meat for yontif, there's actually an iser. You'd have to seal it, whatever. It's gets a little complicated with the. Did he hold that this was an Isser Gomer? He didn't. I don't know. He wrote these things in Shulchan Aruch. He wrote these things in a letter to his wife. I don't know if Halacha Lamaisa he held Paskin that it was Usser to go into the market. We know for himself. We know stories about the Gra that it was Yadua that the Gra sat in his room and he learned and that was how he did things, but. The story goes, by the way, that Rav Chaim Volozhiner wanted to become a Talmud of the Gra. And the way he met him, and it was Yadua, that it was very hard to get into the Gra because he sat in his room and you weren't allowed to go in. So the Gra, it was rumored that he was going to be in a certain town for a family gathering or something. And the Rav Chaim Volozhiner went to that place. He brought warm water with him. You know, in those days they didn't have sinks and whatever. So Erev Shabbos, he knocked on the door. Does the Rav want some warm water to bathe, to wash, whatever? Oh, yeah, I need some water. And he said, here, and he gave him the warm water. And once he got the door open, he was in the room. He started to talk to him and learning. And that's how the relationship grew. But the Gra was locked in his room. The Gra did this. What he's asking his wife to do, what he's encouraging his wife to do, is something that's how he lived his life. So the Gra says, Hashem Yisbarach Zon Mikarne Re'emim V'chulei. V'nosin L'chol Echad V'echad De Machsaro. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he feeds Mikarne Re'emim Ad Beit Zekinim, means the biggest animals to the Beit Zekinim, the lice. He supports everybody. The Ribbono Shel Olam supports everybody. V'nosin L'chol Echad V'echad De Machsaro. He gives everybody what they need. So if that's what you need to be Obed Hashem, is to pay a little more for a shliach to go, so then... you go. So then the Ribbono Shel Olam will give it to you. Ubeshabbos v'yom tov al tadabru klal midvarm sheinam mitzrachim ma'od. Shabbos and yontif, be extra careful with your speech. V'gam midvarm ha'nitzrachim l'ma'od tiktzur ma'od. Even if you really have to do something, be very makater. Ki kedusha Shabbos gadol ma'od. The kedusha of Shabbos, everything that happens on Shabbos is gadol ma'od. Ubekoshi yitiru l'ma shalom b'Shabbos. Just to say good Shabbos, Shabbat shalom. Tosus, this is a Tosus of Meshach Shabbos. The Gemara says, Lo yeh diburcha shal Shabbos ke diburcha shal chol. And the Yerushalmi says that it was only bekoshi, betircha, that it was not such a pasha thing to be matir to say good Shabbos. I know some communities are very makbid, that when you see somebody in the street, they don't say good Shabbos, right? But joking aside. In our society, the right thing to do is to say good Shabbos. But also to understand that's how kadosh it is. So if it's considered rude when you're walking down the street to not say good Shabbos, so then the right thing to do is to say good Shabbos. Because that's the right thing for our society, that's the right thing to do. But to understand, in a utopian society, in Vilna in the 1700s, with the Gra, you know, it's not for Shabbos. We have to be very careful with what we read on Shabbos. And he's going to talk about that. Very careful what we read on Shabbos, very careful what we do on Shabbos, what we talk about on Shabbos. These are all big inyanim by the Gra. Re'ei b'dibur echad kam hechmiru, just to say good Shabbos, how machmir they were. V'tich b'nes ha-Shabbos ma'od kasher hayu l'fonai. And you should be mechabit Shabbos, just like when I was there at home for Shabbos. You know, he leaves the house. So he says, remember when I used to be home for Shabbos, how much you were mechabed the Shabbos, continue to do so. V'altitzamtim kal ki kol mezonosov shal adam k'suv lo merashon reyim k'rim, chutz me'otzo shabbosos v'yom tovim. And the Gra says, remember not to be mitzamtim. Don't be so stingy when it comes to spending for Shabbos and Yontif, because those things, the Ribbono Shel Olam already decided what you're going to make, and that's not part of the cheshbon. So whatever you spend on Shabbos and Yontif, you're paid back for. V'gambasi levakish meitcha ma'od ma'od bebakashas gedula gedola v'atzuma u'shtucha shechadrach espenosecha ma'od shlo yeitzi mipiyam klola u'shvua v'kazav u'machlokas. And now he goes, the Gra shifts gears to Inyan Echinuch. And the Gra says that a person should, that she, his wife, should be very careful. Should Tadrich has been Osecha, train your daughters, your daughters, okay? Ma'od. Shalo Yetzi Mipim Klala Ushvua, because of a curse, a Shvua, a Kazav. A Kazav is a lie. When it comes to Inyan Echinuch, it's this nekuda is a very serious one. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, somebody once came to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and the kid would like disrespectfully like jump onto the Shabbos table and walk across the Shabbos table. He knew it annoyed his parents and whatever it was, and the father didn't know what to do, so he came to Rabbi Yaakov and he said, "What do I do?" And he says, "Nothing. You do nothing." And the person was like, "What?" He literally walks, like, dances on the Shabbos table. So Rabbi Yaakov said, the klal in chinuch is, you're training them for when they get older. The only things you need to train are the things that are not going to go away on their own. When this boy, who's 6 years old, when he's 15, he's not going to dance on the table, right? That's not going to happen. So don't worry about it. If it's a midah that he's not going to do when he's older, then you don't have to bother with it. But Rabbi Yaakov excelled in the midah of Emes. Emes Liyakov is a sefer. And all the gedolim, the thing that we have to be most careful of in our children is the midah of Emes. Because if you've ever dealt with it, somebody who has the midah of Emes, you could always work with. But somebody who's lacking Emes, in any area of life, if somebody's going to be open and honest with you, you could deal with them. You could discuss, you could work things out, you could talk to them. If they're not going to tell you the truth, they're not going to tell you the whole truth. They're going to sidestep the truth. They're going to tell you something that's not true. You can't work with that person. You can't trust that person. And it doesn't only go for relationships and a business relationship, a teacher-student relationship. It also goes for kids. It's a very bad midah that a child would say something that's not true. That's like the biggest red flag when it comes to chinuch. It's a file that away. That's a very, very important thing. So the Gra says that if they do any one of these things, keep them away from it. Klal shvua kazav or machlokas. Rak hakol b'shalom ba'ava u'b'chiba v'nachas. Okay, everything should be good and rosy. And ba'ava b'chiba v'nachas. V'ine yesh li kama sifrei musar im lashon Ashkenaz. Remember, the girls often didn't have the education. So he says, I have Musar from that are translated Beloshon Ashkenaz, which is whatever language they spoke. So it's translated into their language. Yikru Tamid, they should always learn these Sfarim. V'kol shekein b'Shabbos Kodesh Kadashim, lo yisasku ela b'Sifrei Musar, v'hinei tadrichem Tamid b'Sifrei Musar. Sifrei Musar are the key to learning. He quotes here in the Bo Cheshbon, in the notes, Rabbi Goldberg, he says that the Gra is telling us, Tadrichim Tamid B'Sifrei Musar. The idea of Musar is, you know, it's nice to hear a Vart, to hear a Musar Vart. That's a nice thing. But that was never how Musar was intended to be learned, not by the Rishonim who wrote Musar Sfarim, whether it was the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, Chovos HaLevavos, or later the Ramchal, or any of the Bali Musar. They were never meant as just a good Vart. It was always meant as something that you learn tamid, you learn consistently, and you should always come back to, because when those ideas are always percolating in your head, it'll have an impact on your lamaisa. Val klal shvua because of take osam. Okay, and here we get to another one. Klal shvua and kazav, if they do any one of those things, you gotta hit them. You have to give them a patch. Velo terachim aleim klal, and don't have rachmanos. Kichas v'shalom. Realize that parents are responsible for their children, and if you don't give it to them, you're doing a big disservice not only to them but also to yourself. You're losing them. If you don't put them back in their place. Now, when it comes to the idea of hitting children in chinuch, so obviously we all understand that bezman hazeh, that's not the way to be mechanech them. It's interesting that the great mechanchim of our door, Rav Melchel Yehuda Lefkowitz, also said you can never touch a child. But he did say that whatever it means to be makke, it has to take on a new form. Whatever that is in our generation, we still have to give it to them, so to speak. Okay, I don't know where I lost you, but the Gra says that
you were about to say something about hitting kids.
Yeah, about not hitting kids. Okay, the idea is that our door, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work as a chinuch tool. Children don't no longer respond to things like that. The whole concept of our door is. The Gemara says at the end of Sota that the door of Mashiach, chutzpah yiski, there's a lot of chutzpah. People are not afraid of their elders. There's no pachad from older generations. My generation, we had a little bit of it. My parents' generation, they had a little bit more. You know, in Europe, they had it. We don't have it. Our kids don't have it. They're not afraid. You can't scare them into doing anything. And if you do, if you're successful in scaring them into doing something, you will pay for it. Because it'll come back it'll come back to you. They won't forget about it, and it's definitely not a good thing. So it's not something that works. The chinuch still has to happen, but it has to be done in a way that they respond. The idea of hitting the child, the Gra saying, is you hit the child will respond. So the gedolei mechanchim, in our generation, say that. In our generation, that's not how you get the child to listen, so that's not what we're supposed to do. But just to understand, again, it helps us understand, the Gra is not the weird one. It's us. In other words, if we had more respect for our elders, then the scare tactic would work. In the Gra's time, the scare tactic worked, and that was what they did, because it got the child to respond in a serious way, meaning not just as like now, if you scare a child, for the next 3 seconds they'll do what you want, but then they'll stop. You can make a serious change, a serious difference 300 years ago when you did this. Now you can make a change for about 3 seconds, and then after that you completely lost them and they don't respect you anymore. So whatever respect they had, they won't listen to you anymore. So that's not the way to gain respect from our children nowadays. And I think everybody who deals with children knows this. But in the time of the Gra, this was the way that you got a child's attention. Like the pasuk says, "Ve'bas kohen kisechel is nos," when she's mizane, when she acts immorally. Esavia hi mechalelas. The Torah describes it as, you know, who she shamed. She was mechalel her father. Her father's the one who didn't give her the mussar. Kiman Karina and the Rosh Ben Tzadik, Rosh Ben Rosh Chulei Chen Shar Dvarim Loshon Haru Achilas Vashlo Yochlu VeYishtu Kim. Okay, that's a new point. Hold on. I just want to point out something that he notes here. There's a big tumult in the Achronim. It's a lamda shetumult whether the technical chiyuv of chinuch is on the father and the mother, or if it's only on the father. But he quotes here that he brings a raya from the Gra. The Gra says, we just read, "Ki chas v'shalom b'kilkol habonim ye'onshu avayim ma'od." The parents will get punished for what the child did. So the Rabbi Goldberg says that there's a machlokas whether in regular chinuch habonim v'habonos, whether the mother is obligated. He says that's like a technical point, but you see here, if she's going to get punished, then certainly when it comes to Inyone Midos and Musar and Yerushamayim, certainly that the mother is obligated. Even if she's not obligated to make sure that the boy shakes his lulav. You know, like the Gemara in Kedushin, if you learn the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chavtes, the Gemara has drushas that a mother is not obligated to make sure that her son has a bris, because the woman is not chayiv in Mila. So if I lost you. Okay. Sorry, I lost you again. The Gemara in Kedushin says that a mother is not obligated to give her son a bris because she herself is not obligated, right? So when it comes to this machlokas, whether she's chayiv to make sure that he sits in the sukkah, whether she's chayiv to make sure that he puts on his tefillin, and all these things, though that That's a technical point. Lamaisa, when it comes to midos, and when it comes to Musar, and when it comes to improving as a person, Yirah Shamayim, these things the mother is very much there. And we know the opening line of the Igeres HaRamban, Shema Bini Musar Avicha, Va'al Titash Taras Imecha. The reality is that especially the way society works today, the father, again, every family dynamic is going to be different, but the father often shows up at the end of a long day and says Shalom Aleichem to the kids. They know who he is, they don't know who he is, but they're with the mother all day. They see the mother, the way she acts, whether she's calm or whether she's, you know, not calm. They see her running the house, they see her doing everything for them. She's the, you know, 90% of the chinuch, 95% of the chinuch literally goes straight through her. So it's a very important point. It's beyond the technical issue of whether a woman is chayiv in the mitzvah of chinuch or not. The next point, ooh, it's late. Okay, you know what, we're going to stop here. We're up to the words of Shalo Yochlu V'lishtu. He's still telling his wife what they're supposed to do as what she should make sure that her children do. That's really like a whole new topic that I want to get into. So I think it's already getting late. So we'll stop here. And Bezer Hashem, so the next year, I guess, will be recorded. I don't know when, because once I get to camp, I don't know what's going to happen to me or how it's going to happen and when I'm going to have the time. But B'li Neder, I will try to send them out. I don't know how many more there will be. Probably two or three more, maybe. I don't know. Maybe two or three. And then we'll finish the Igeres HaGra. And B'li Neder, when we come back, we'll make a new time. We'll find a new time. And we'll start Derech Hashem. It'll be very exciting. Thank you guys so much for the whole year. And Limatzech, please be in touch over the summer. If there's, I'm still alive and there. Just not always on my own schedule. Okay.